May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The healing miracles throughout the brief three-year ministry of Jesus are a major part of the announcement that the kingdom of God was indeed in the midst of the people. Today's gospel account of the blind beggar, Bartimaeus, being given back his sight from Christ is yet one more miracle and announcement. We read that Jesus and his disciples had come to Jericho. They had been in the city. And we read of Bartimaeus that when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he begins to shout and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And many around him tell him to quiet down. But he cries out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stands still and he says to him, "Call him here." And he calls him over to him. Bartimaeus's plea is, "Give me my sight." And Christ tells him that his faith has made him well. And he suddenly sees. Yet what about when our faith does not seem to make us well? Throughout my ministry, I have certainly seen it go both ways. There is this difficulty. This is the dilemma, isn't it? When we strive to live by faith and our lives do not go as planned and are greatly challenged. Perhaps we are confronted with a serious illness personally, or a loved one is ill and does not survive. Maybe we are living with a chronic illness or a physical disability. Maybe we are living with a very challenging family situation. What happens when we call out to Jesus? When we in faith pray fervently to God, and there seems to be no healing? There are two different stories that come to mind from my days as the rector of Holy Trinity in Decatur, Georgia. The first is about a young woman at Holy Trinity named Robin. She was in her 30s during my ministry there, and Robin was confined to a wheelchair and was as well deaf since childhood. She drove herself to church almost every Sunday, and through her efforts and the support of the community of faith, we had a sign language interpreter every week for the 10:30 Eucharist, and often, obviously, had a number of others that would join us for Eucharist who were themselves hearing impaired because they knew of this ministry. It was a remarkable experience for me. I will say, when I was the new rector at age 30, the first time sort of was a bit unsettling to watch every word you were saying being signed. But what was really remarkable was when I began to get used to it and would see my sermons being translated right below me to the congregation into the sign language. And I will always remember, though, the first time I preached on Jesus' healing, not of the blind man, Bartimaeus, but of the deaf man. I was preaching on that passage and being ever so conscious of Robin sitting there next to the front pew, right in front of the pulpit. Out of the corner of my eye, I could see my words being translated into sign language and wondered and cared how much and how they were being received by her. Robin had great faith, but week after week did not get up out of that chair, nor did she suddenly hear the spoken word or the hymns of the organ and choir. The second story from Holy Trinity is about a 5-year-old named John Marshall. His parents were Kay and John. Little John Marshall was part of a large extended family who were very involved in the life of Holy Trinity. His grandmother basically ran the kitchen as a volunteer, was always involved in the food ministries. They were wonderful and faithful Christians. And one evening while working late at the church office, I received a call from his grandmother that I needed to come to her daughter Kay's house because there had been a terrible accident at the soccer field. This was before cell phones, and they had called the house first, where Ellen answered and told them to try me at the church. By the time I reached their house, I knew that their 5-year-old son had been hit by a slow-moving car in the parking lot of the local soccer field. The driver of the car, an older gentleman, did not see John Marshall dash out from behind a minivan chasing after his soccer ball. John Marshall died almost instantly from severe head trauma. As I entered Kay and John's house, the grandmother led me to their bedroom, where they were sitting on the edge of the bed, and I sat with them. What happens when our faith confronts such a terrible tragedy? When Jesus doesn't seem to make it okay. When Jesus doesn't seem to make it okay and is instead apparently silent. What is hard for us to hold in tension in both our minds and hearts is that God is omnipotent, in control. And still very sad and difficult situations and events happen to faithful Christians every day. How are we to understand this dilemma when one is not healed from an illness, or our lives have a chronic medical condition, or one loses a child in a tragic accident? A certain reality of the Christian life is to say that faith does not protect us from such things. God allows, it seems, for bad things to happen to the most faithful of people, even though God does not cause it. There is an allowance of free will. We are all knowledgeable of Rabbi Harold Kushner's classic work, When Bad Things Happen to Good People. If you've not read it, you need to pick up this small paperback. You may also be able to sing along with me, if you're old enough, the words of the singer-songwriter Billy Joel's classic, Remember Only the Good Die Young. Clearly, we have all known good people who have been granted by God very long lives. And we have all as well seen people healed by Jesus from very serious illnesses. In fact, both right here at St. John's. Yet today's gospel is a poignant reminder that unlike the crying prayers of Bartimaeus that lead to his regaining of his sight, our cries to Jesus at times do not yield such restoration. When I sat on the bedside with Kay and John, nothing I prayed or said brought back their precious son. As hard as it may be at times, through all of our life's challenges, sickness, death, tragedy, and loss, we are called to have faith. We are called to have faith. Faith is, as St. Augustine brilliantly said, the ability to believe in things unseen and yet known to be true. The ability to believe in things unseen yet known to be true. Bartimaeus models this faith as he calls out to Jesus. Remember, Bartimaeus doesn't know the end of the story. He doesn't know that his sight is coming back to him, but in faith, he cries out to Jesus. It is that faith in Christ before he knows the outcome that makes him well. And it is that same kind of faith as we call out to Jesus before we know the outcome that makes us well and all well in the eyes of God. In the final analysis, our faith does indeed make us well. Sometimes physically, often physically, but always at the deepest levels of our humanity. Last November, since I've been your rector, I heard from Kay, John Marshall's mother, on the 20th anniversary of their son's death. She wanted me with her to remember that time. And together, to share the faith, unseen, but known to be true. Amen.